Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL. Super Bowl is approaching.
It certainly is. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. The week's just gone was your AFC and NFC Championship game. So only two games, clearly. If you follow the NFL, that is. You'd know that already. But in the NFC Championship game, it was the Bucks and the Packers, and the Bucks getting the win 31-26. The AFC Championship game was the Bills up against the Chiefs. And the Chiefs going through to their second straight Super Bowl, 38-24. Guess we just
congratulations, congratulations to both teams. Tom Brady now has as many NFC Championship titles as Aaron Rodgers, and he's only been in the conference for 1 year. It's unbelievable. One hell of a gauntlet that he's going to run if Tom Brady's going to win a Super Bowl.
Isn't there a stat as well that he's got as many, I don't know if it's Super Bowl appearances or championships as Aaron Rodgers and I think Drew Brees combined? Sure, I've seen.
No, well, Drew Brees has got one as well. Aaron Rodgers, they've got two.
Yeah, and Brady's got six.
Super Bowls. Yeah. Brady's got six. Yeah, Rodgers and Brees have got one each.
One each. He's 43, but he's 43. He started brilliantly. His first half was impeccable. Tom Brady.
He might as well be 33.
Yeah. Or 23. Although 33 is pretty young as a quarterback, isn't it? He was accurate. Yeah, right. Everything just was clicking. That first half was really 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 good by the Bucks.
On their opening drive, they converted three third downs. Yeah. On that opening drive, Tampa, and when they're clicking on all cylinders, they don't make offense look as easy as what Kansas City does, but it's not far off. You know, like we said, you know, as we've said all year, with the buffet of options that Tom Brady has there at Tampa, and Bruce Arians now, is letting Tom do his thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sort of pointed out last week, it was either last week or the week before, you know, since their bye in like week 13, you know, they haven't lost. They're scoring 34 plus points per game. And they're just looking, they're almost looking unstoppable. It was a Herculean effort by Green Bay to sort of keep themselves in it, towards the end of it. But at halftime, between the start that Tampa had and halftime was just an incredible half. For them to be up 21-10 at halftime, that gamble, you know, they rolled the dice pretty much on the last play of the first half. And it was just that, it was, what is it, a 43-yard touchdown to Scotty Miller.
Scotty Miller.
Caught it right in the back of the end zone. Like, unbelievable roll of the dice to go for it. Basically on the final play.
On the final play.
The first half, and it comes off unreal.
It was unbelievable. And even Scotty Miller forgot. I mean, again, this is probably going back to what you said, the plethora of options he has there. I honestly forgot about Scotty Miller
he's made some big, big plays for them this year.
Yeah. They had Antonio Brown out of this game, so he probably was, I guess, going to be their sort of third option there. I mean, you got your obvious Evans and Godwin, and then, you know, definitely Gronk, but he obviously was their third end, their third option, and didn't look out of place at all, which was great.
No. No, that's right. And plus, they've also got the rookie there, Tyler Johnson, as well. Oh, I don't think he's anything to be sneezed at as well. I kind of like him as a receiver there. Like, you know, that's sort of – it's unfortunate that he's sort of, you know, fourth or fifth on the depth chart there. But, you know, that's just what it is. If he was drafted to there, and that's what he's just got to put up with. You know, also he's behind, you know, Cameron Brate and Rob Gronkowski there as well at tight end. So, you know, he's a fair way down the depth chart. But I like what Tyler Johnson's about. I think he's a good receiver.
So first half was I guess it just was pretty cut and dry. But like the Bucks just really. The Bucks owned Green Bay, but on the flip side, I thought it was the Bucks D that really owned Green Bay. Yeah, you know, obviously, like all the time, the offense get the plaudits, but the Bucks D was shutting down Packers and Aaron Rodgers. They really were, especially in the running game. They had nothing in that running game.
No, both teams, both I think, them, running games was pretty ordinary. I think that this game. You know, all ends up was one on, you know, the arm of either Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. It didn't look like it was going to get done a whole lot on the ground. I think once again, you know, Green Bay sort of did it running back by committee a little bit, you know, but Aaron Jones got hurt as well. You know, in that game,
straight
it was
after,
funny. It was funny too that, yeah, it's right. Whitehead got two terrific hits on him. One was a fumble, and you know, and then he hurt himself on the second fumble that he got on Aaron Jones as well.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a funny one, yeah. Just in regards to the running game, but defensively, you know, in that game that they played earlier in the season, Green Bay and Tampa, Green Bay didn't look that great. All season, Aaron Rodgers, I think it was just against NFC teams that only thrown three interceptions all season. In the two games that he's played against Tom Brady or against Tampa Bay, he's thrown three interceptions.
Yeah.
So he only threw one in this game, but it was just crucial intercept. Interceptions aren't all made equally. You know, if they're thrown at the wrong time, all you got to do is have a look at Tom Brady. He threw three of them. He threw three in three offensive series to keep Green Bay in this game.
Yeah.
And Green Bay could not capitalize.
That second quarter was so it's just from that fumble where it started, you know, and where the ball was knocked out from Aaron Jones and Devin White picked it up. And then Tampa Bay got a touchdown straight away. I went, oh my God, it's just going to be what the game's like, a 28-10. And then Green Bay literally can't, you know, it was only took them four minutes, I suppose, straight after that to come down the field and then score a touchdown. That second half was so topsy-turvy. I had no idea what was going on. Then the interception started coming. Yeah. I thought, what the hell is going on in this game? Like, you know, you don't think of it.
Three offensive series in a row that Brady threw a pick, and it's just like, well, is he just, he's, how did Green Bay not capitalize on that?
They only capitalized on one.
You just got three free extra possessions, and they could not capitalize.
Yeah, the first one they did. The first one they did, but the second one, exactly, from Tampa Bay's defense, they had to punt both of those interceptions. They just couldn't capitalize. The second interception, they only got three plays for -5 yards. That's how. And then after the other one, it was three plays for 0 yards. They just the defense was just unbelievable.
Yeah, smothering, unreal.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what that meant. Like, I mean, it's not for me. It wasn't that Rodgers had a bad game. It's just I don't know. Like, I mean, he got sacked 5 times, so that doesn't help. But that's probably not.
He was pressured a lot, and I think out of the so many possessions that were dropbacks, either in the pistol or the shotgun, I think he got knocked down like 12 or 13 times. So he was under duress a lot of this game, And, you know, 33 for 48 is good, 346 yards. But I thought they tried to feed Devontae Adams a little bit too much. There was an offensive series, I think, in the first quarter where three times in the red zone, and they ended up having to settle for 3 points, but three times they went to Devontae Adams, and three times the pass was either knocked down or not caught by Adams. I just thought they tried to feed him a little bit too much. He had 15 targets.
Yeah.
And, you know, nine receptions is great, but only 67 yards. So that's about 7.5 yards per reception, which is unfortunately that's not quite good enough. I don't think, like, you know, his longest run was only 15 yards. They had a lot more success going to Valdes-Scantling and Lazard on the big plays, you know, on more than 15 or 20 yards than what they did with Devontae Adams.
I mean, at all, they were looking good, I guess, if you really, they were looking like they were going to come back and at least sort of look, it looked like they were going to just sort of snatch that sort of win up until really, really late in the fourth quarter on that fourth and goal from the 8. I mean,
it was just before the 2 minute warning.
I guess he chose everything already. It looks like he's bet on his defense than he bet on Aaron Rodgers on that play. So basically, they were trailing.
Do you find that a little strange? I find that ludicrous, really. To go with analytics and to kick the field goal to bring yourself back within 5, or to say to Aaron Rodgers, or, you know, even yourself, if you're the offensive play caller, or to Aaron Rodgers, to say we need to go to our most certain, unstoppable, this, you know, play. Didn't have to be a touchdown, but it did have to be a touchdown. It was a fourth and goal.
You had to.
It was you've got to trust Aaron Rodgers in that position.
Well, I mean, essentially, you're trusting the defense to get stops on, technically, if you had to add the 2 minute warning, on 4 timeouts. You know, even so, really, you're basically, how I seen it was just saying, okay, yeah, okay, we'll kick the field goal, our defense will stop, and then aren't you trusting Aaron Rodgers to do your thing? So you still had to have trust in him, but you're giving him less time to have trust in him. It just didn't. Yeah, it was just a weird call.
It was just a strange call to go from 8 points down to 5 points down. Like, you're better off in trying to get the touchdown, and okay, if you miss the 2-point conversion, all right, you're still down. You're only down 2 then. So if you get the ball back, then you've only got to make it to field goal range. So you probably only got to make it to, you know, the 35 yard line for Mason Crosby to come in and kick a field goal to win it. I've just got a funny feeling that he banked on his defense just one too many times, because, you know, in that third and fourth quarter, they had 3 interceptions on Tom Brady. So LaFleur has gone, well, we can do that again. And that just seems like, yeah, taking too much of a bite out of the pie. Like, you've already got 3 interceptions out of Tom Brady. You should have capitalized on them earlier. Not now. Not the two minutes and 5 seconds to go in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Granted, you've got all your timeouts and you get the 2 minute warning, but you should have capitalized on them earlier. You should have been, you know, going hard and aggressive on, like you said, you know, the two series that they had minus 5 yards and 0 yards. Like, that's a waste.
To throw that
possession away, it's such a waste. They had to be more aggressive earlier.
Because considering, really, if you look at it, like, looking at it from the second quarter, after the second quarter, that second half, they had the momentum, Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers had the momentum.
They did.
So why don't you just keep going with that momentum? They had to have a couple of punts.
You've got to keep rolling with it. Your defense is playing well. You've just picked off Tom Brady 3 times, but you think about it. Surely he's not going to throw another one. Oh, he did. You know, after the second one. Oh, surely he's not going to throw another one. Oh, look out, he did.
Yeah.
It's just, they had to be more aggressive offensively. and he's just been dragged over the hot coals with it all week, you know, about that play and about sort of essentially taking analytics on and not trusting Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean that's how it should have been. I mean, it depends what you read. If everything you read, I guess, is true, and who's to say it is, of course. But I mean, it was Rodgers that sort of put Matt LaFleur in that position. So as far as everything I've looked at and read, you know, he advocated for him to become the head coach. So
that's right.
And so it was a weird call. I just what was weirder? Yeah, it was a great win by Bucks, and you know, I guess the first team ever in Super Bowl history to have a home game. I mean, I'll do that inverted because it's not the same home game as you would have if you had a crowd. It would make a big difference. But the post game interview for Rodgers was just a bit weird, like, you know, basically saying that no one's safe on the team at the moment, even him. Like, just
yeah,
I don't know.
Thinking his future's up in the air, or well, a lot of guys' futures are up in the air, including mine and everything. It's like, oh man, like that there, I think is just emotion taking over. You can't make too much of that. Like that's just bitter, bitter disappointment. You know, after such a great game, a great season, and for it to come to an end, you know, I guess on a controversial play call. Yeah, shall we put it? You know, and not having, I guess, sort of the trust in him to be able to. I guess it's sort of six and one, half a dozen the other. Yeah, what happens if he does put the trust in Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers doesn't convert? Yeah. Then whose fault is it then? Is it Aaron Rodgers' fault or is it LaFleur's fault?
I mean, I don't know about you, but the play. So obviously it was a turnover and they've had the ball. Tampa that. That was definitely a pass interference by the letter of the law, if you really look at it. That happened, I guess, to get him that first down. I think it was trying to click who was the player. I think it was Tyler Johnson, I think, who had the ball or was about to have the ball and got a handful of jersey. Or someone got a handful of jersey.
Oh, no, yeah, that's right. It was Kevin King, got a handful of Tyler undershirt.
Johnson. It was Tyler Johnson.
It was Kevin King. It was Kevin King for Green Bay. So yeah, that was it. That was a 100% pass. Yeah, that was a 100% PI call.
Yeah. So I don't know. I've read some people think it was, you know, I guess it wasn't a. I mean, they could be Green Bay fans too, for all I know. But it was definitely a pass interference, and
handful of undershirt. And it just pulled him up enough for him to have his arms reached out and him not being able to get the ball. Like it's not so much a no brainer, but it's one of those calls that you'd think that they would call 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got enough referees on the field that they should be able to see that.
Yeah, exactly. Tampa going through, I guess, I should look this stat up, but it's their first Super Bowl. It's not ever, is it? I think they've been to one before.
No, they won a Super Bowl. Yeah, I think it was like 2003 or 2004 with John Gruden. So I think they've only won one Super Bowl in their history. This is the first time they've made the Super Bowl since then. It's definitely got the town buzzing down there in Tampa Bay, you know, after not having playoff success for a few years now. And, yeah, now they've had one year with Tom Brady and they've got all the success in the world. So it's a little unfortunate too, like, you know, back-to-back AFC championship appearances for Green Bay. Obviously, they lost last year to San Francisco and Jimmy G and this year to Tom Brady, you know. Funnily enough, two former New England Patriot quarterbacks. But Aaron Rodgers now is 1-4 in championship games for his career, which is a little like that. A lot of people out there will want to say that he is one of the greatest of all time. And
he'll He'll no doubt get MVP this year. That's how good of a season he had. But
that's right. Yeah. If you look up, he is paying $1.02 to get win the MVP. So he's getting the MVP.
Shout out to Sportsbet. Of course he is. $1.02. Oh my God. Yeah.
So he is absolutely getting the MVP. But I think it's a pretty crummy way for the season to end. Yeah. But overall, I think drama filled game.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I don't know. Like, I guess it was just, I thought from that very first half, I mean, drama field aside, it's just the first half that sort of threw me. I just didn't think the Bucks would get out to such a hot start because I thought the Packers D was just all year. I mean, they were 13-3 and I thought the Packers D was phenomenal all year. It was drama filled, yeah, but it was a tale of two halves, really, wasn't it? At the end of the day, it really was just a tale of two halves.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's the thing. I think the thing, you know, like we said, the thing that kept Green Bay in it, and that's the thing, you know, I think Green Bay was sort of favorites in this game as well. But the thing that kept Green Bay in it was those three late interceptions by Tom Brady, and whether or not it was a bit of a tired arm by the end of it, or you know, he sort of bit off a little bit more than what he could chew on those plays. One of them, I think it might have been Mike Evans. He totally overthrew Mike Evans. Like whether he ran the route wrong or he stopped too early or anything like that, and the ball just went sailing right over the top of his head. I think it was the second interception, and it's like, ooh, that's a bad miss. And they're the types of plays that, you know, the defense for Green Bay, you know, their tail would have been up and they would have been going to the sideline with a lot of excitement saying, right, here we go. It's up to, we got Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but that's the difference.
We've got Devontae Adams. Like, it's go time.
Yeah, but that's the difference. They had Aaron Rodgers. They had Devontae Adams. I don't think they took, and this is probably, I don't know if it's Matt LaFleur or what, but I don't think they took enough risks like Bruce Arians did with Tom Brady and his plethora. You know what I mean? I just don't think there was enough risks that they could have taken. I'm not just talking about the fourth quarter, just, I guess, sort of that, yeah, the whole game.
Underrated crucial play in this game was the two-point conversion that they missed, where St. Brown dropped the ball in the end zone on the two-point conversion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A fairly simple pass, just hit him straight, yeah, just went through his hands, hit him in the chest, and then dropped down. Underrated crucial play in this game. They convert that, they're an extra 2 points.
Yep.
Then they don't have to look for the touchdown then. The field goal comes into it. So they convert that two-point conversion earlier on.
Yeah.
And that is a major, major crucial play.
Well, that's a turning point one. That I don't care about the last field goal because the field, you know, wouldn't have been in play and wouldn't have had to decide. That was the turning point for me.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was
right at the end of that. It was right at the end of that third quarter. It was the Devontae Adams. Yeah. It was the Devontae Adams touchdown. The score then was 28-23. They convert that. It's 28-25. It's a totally different game then.
Oh, 100%. And so, okay, yeah, Bucks scored through. What? Like you've mentioned before, you know, this again, they get to the NFC Championship and again they lose. What is essentially, look, I mean, I don't care what everyone reads and says. Aaron Rodgers is staying there. Aaron Rodgers is
he's not going anywhere. What do they do?
I mean, everyone keeps whinging every single time, but every year in a draft that they should be drafting a wide receiver. Are they actually going to do it this time?
I don't think they are going to pull the trigger. I think they're going to roll out there and trust, you know, Lazard and Felder Scantling and Devontae Adams. I think Aaron Rodgers has got a pretty good trust in those guys now. I think it's just the luck of the draw. Like I don't know where else you can improve. Either that or you try and bolster up your offensive line or your defensive line. Like it just, it's got to be, unless they go out there and either get a corner or a safety, you know, a shut down corner or safety.
Well, they are going to lose Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams to free agency. Well, they're up for free agency, obviously.
They're up for free agency.
They can look at signing them. They're unrestricted. So so it's possible they may draft a running back or look, maybe pick one up in the free agency. Who knows? But or run with AJ Dillon. I don't know. But
well, he was a rookie this year, and I don't mind. He's a good power runner. I like AJ Dillon. I think he did a good job, I guess, in sort of limited snaps this year. I think there was a few times they sort of featured him on a couple of drives. And he's a good hard runner. I don't mind AJ Dillon at all.
I just think they could use him a lot more. I like their, because he does a lot of their dirty work. Tonyan, their tight end.
Robert Tonyan, he's not going anywhere.
No,
him and Devontae Adams were Rogers' favorite targets all year.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and
offensively, offensively, I think they're fine. You could maybe try and shore up so Rogers doesn't get hit as much. Like they lost Bakhtiari just as the playoffs were about to start, so that didn't. Yeah, that wasn't ideal, but you've got to keep Rogers clean.
Yeah, in the pocket. And for the most part, I think probably Bakhtiari was a bigger miss than I guess people thought about, because I mean, for the most part, if I looked at a lot of their games this year, he was protected a lot. He had time in the pocket. So,
funnily enough, in this game, he was hit quite a bit.
Yeah, well, you know, when you lose one of your best, you know, especially on that blind spot,
right. That left hand side, they're more crucial than what your right hand side.
Oh, it's
your left
they are,
your left
yeah.
guard to protect that blind side. And
that's why they get paid a lot, because they are like, you know, not as much as quarterback. They get paid a lot because they are essentially your franchise insurance policy. So, but yeah, good win by Bucks. The AFC game, look, the Bills and the Chiefs. Oh man, oh, god damn, the Chiefs just 9-0, which. You know, people were getting excited the Bills are up at 9-0, but this was also 3 field goals, don't forget. And then that 21 unanswered points in what it felt like 2 minutes was just unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, it did. It was unreal. Like, I mean, Buffalo got off, I thought they got off to a really good start. And the thing that started to sort of, not so much shoot them in the foot, but the a couple of times there, like Josh Allen, he just had to get rid of the ball. Like a couple of Kansas City defensive front linemen got into the backfield there, and there was a couple of sacks there that Josh Allen took. He just had to get rid of the ball, but he's trying to outrun them, trying to zig and zag. I think the one in the second drive of the game that they had, it was like a 15-yard loss on a sack, and he's trying to zig and zag and get away. It just took all the momentum away from Buffalo. I think they were sitting nicely. Their problem was to start off with was leaving points out on the field. So, you know, the first drive they had, they only got 3 points out of it. On their second drive, it was their third drive of the game. They get the touchdown, but they missed the point after. So you just, against Kansas City, you cannot afford to leave easy points out on the field like that. You need every single one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And yeah, especially against this side, like it's not so much, I guess a little bit of their defense, but just how quickly their offense can score points. And,
well, they,
and
that's just, what I mean. They, Buffalo capitalized straight up on the Hardman drop, you know, drop punt.
Michael Hardman's,
you know, yeah. Or, yeah, yeah. So that was catastrophic on their point, because it just gave Buffalo such a short field to work with. It was like three yards, I think. And it was just like, right, you know, that they absolutely have to capitalize on that. They did. But then, like I said, you know, they missed the point after. So you're just painting yourself into a corner from the get-go by leaving points out there against this Kansas City side that is just they just score points just for the hell of it. They score for fun.
Yeah, well, they really do. I think it was I think it was Mecole Hardman that dropped that. Was he the one that dropped the punt?
Or he was the one that dropped the punt.
Yeah, but then I was just seeing the shorts of, like, obviously players mic'd up and Kelce and Mahomes went straight over to him because he had to tell him and said, it's all right, you know, we've been here before, we can get him back, and then he gets that touchdown. Like, they
yeah, he gets the touchdown. He also, had a really good kick return. I think it was on the next punt after that, and he had a really good kick return. I think it was 25, 26 yards. So he sort of started to get a little bit more, bit of confidence after that. Obviously him scoring, his scoring the touchdown as well. I think that was totally set up for him, for him to get some confidence.
Exactly.
I think that rattled him, that drop punt.
It did, you know, yeah. So, I mean, they had it, they showed after the game, you know, just, yeah, of Travis Kelce coming over to him and Mahomes and said, you know, we've done this before. You know, you'll get the next one, don't worry, we'll make sure kind of thing. And then they did it for him, which is unbelievable that you can do this in such a big game.
That's right. And they also fed him for like a reverse 50-yard rush as well. You know, like on the reverse. Like it was crazy that the way that they just like, right, over this kid, he's had the drop punt. Let's get his confidence back up. Let's draw a few plays up for him. And it worked. It worked an absolute treat. And then you've got Travis Kelce. Like what else do you say about Travis Kelce?
I mean, God. Both of them.
He had 10 catches like early inside the third quarter. He had 10 catches already.
Yeah, they're just both those guys. Yeah, I don't know how you stop Tariq Hill. Yeah, I damn sure don't know how you stop Travis Kelce, because
speed kills and size. Yeah, and mobility and agility.
Yeah,
they're the two guys that are just freakish athletes. They're unbelievable.
They are. They're absolutely freakish athletes. It's, you know, they still looks like they're chopping and changing, which is fine. I mean, Edwards-Helaire is still young. They're chopping and changing in the rushing. Hardman, Edwards-Helaire. I think Williams got it. Yeah, he did. He topped the run.
Darrell Williams had a bulk of the running game in this. And you know, and that's the thing. You know, they know that they can rely on him in the big games.
I mean, and then again, it comes back to the time I guess Mahomes had, which is their offensive line. Yes, I think he got sacked once, I believe.
He only got sacked once. Yeah, he got hit a couple of times.
For the most part, he had that protection. So
yeah, a couple of tackles for loss there, but he got. He got pushed down. He got pushed down a lot. I think he got hit like as in the quarterback hits. I think he got hit like 8 times or 9 times or something like that. So he was under pressure a little bit. They just couldn't catch him in time, you know, to get the sack. So I think that was part of the problem as well.
With Josh Allen, I guess because they were so far behind, really, I think they had no choice for him to throw. He threw 48 times for only 28 that were actually caught for 287. He was pressured a lot. Like a lot of people.
He was under pressure. He held the ball too long a lot of times. He just hung on to that ball so long. His receivers just weren't getting open. And, you know, the combination with him and Stephon Diggs didn't really get going until the second half.
Yeah.
Like he was nowhere to be found in that first half, Stephon Diggs.
I'm still shocked because he got sacked twice by this guy. I'm still shocked that Seattle never kept on to Frank Clark. Frank Clark is still young and a beast. He's still only 27. I just can't work out.
Chris Jones was getting a lot of pressure up through the middle on Josh Allen. They had a lot of problems trying to keep out that Kansas City defensive line.
I just don't like his last season in Seattle. He got 14 sacks. Like how do you just let someone walk that had 14 sacks
in a
season? He had 22 sacks the year before. 10 sacks the year before. It's just anyway. I mean, obviously they're paying him a bucket load of money, which is always good. But he was pressed a lot, I think, and that's probably a little bit of. I guess the Bills, not so much problem, but, you know, of course Stephon Diggs was was always going to get the ball. So there was a little bit of a double team there. I guess I don't mind Cole Beasley. I mean, this is going from the Cowboys days. I don't think he is their WR2. I don't think he should be their WR2.
He shouldn't be, but for this team, he is. You know, him and John Brown, I guess, are sort of fighting for those, you know, those number two catches, I guess. Like, Cole Beasley's more of a slot receiver than more of your general wide-out type player. You know, John Brown probably steps out a little bit wider than him, but Cole Beasley, look, man, yeah, to me, he was coming up big. He had some good catches as well. I like what was happening, how they were sort of, okay, they might be double-teaming Stephon Diggs. He warrants that double team, means you've got to go somewhere else.
I guess we did this for a lot of teams that have sort of finished. They had a phenomenal season, the Bills, 13-3, got to the AFC Championship game. What do they do? What do they look for now? I think because I had a look of players that are coming up, they're not really going to, they're possibly going to need a wide receiver. I don't know if it's in the draft or free agency, because John Brown's gone. Who's probably their biggest notables in terms of cap saving. So I don't know. I don't mind. Their defense is great. Although it's been
defensively,
chopping and
changing
this year.
I think they're pretty solid. It's going to be, you know, maybe getting someone there that can partner Stephon Diggs. Do they have trust in Zach Moss as well, who's missed this game as well, the running back there. So maybe it could be something along those lines, because Devin Singletary is, he's more of a James White, you know, from the New England Patriots type player, where he's more of a threat in the passing game than what he is in the run game. He's not the greatest sort of rush player. Like, he doesn't get those big, peel off those big chunk yards. Like a lot of running backs should. Your top running backs, your Cooks, your Kamaras, even Aaron Jones, guys like that are your upper echelon of running back. I think that could be something that they could improve on a little bit as well.
So I don't know about Aaron Jones. I don't know if they've got the cap. We're looking at it, they've only got a bit of 2 million cap at the moment until they start cutting people. But in saying that, there's probably a lot of them they can get on the cheap that could be a lot better.
I think a lot of teams are going to have to start doing that, because there's going to be a definite drop in the salary cap this year or this upcoming year. Nobody knows what the number's going to be. I think this year was $198 million was the cap, so just under $200. There's the possibility that it could sink as low as $175 million. So that's a huge drop. Yeah, that's 20 plus. It's 23 if it sinks that low to $175 million. That's a massive drop in salary cap, and that's going to put a lot of teams under pressure for signing guys. Like signing bonuses and all that sort of stuff as well. But that's going to put a lot of pressure on teams to try and get guys, economically, to try and fit them under the cap. And you hope that guys aren't, unfortunately, guys aren't going out there this year to get paid. Like, that's the thing, because it's just not going to happen.
I think for them, at least, I'm not completely sold on that Devin Knox. I think they could look at, possibly maybe a tight end on maybe the cheap. I'm not really sure. I think Jonu Smith's up at the moment for the Texans, who wasn't sort of too bad. But I'm not completely sold. That would just be another sort of jolt if they can't get a wide receiver in terms of sort of cap money.
No, they could go out there and have a look in the tight end market, like we were just sort of talking there before. I think the LA Rams have got a bit of a plethora of tight ends at the moment. So is Tampa Bay. If Gronk decides to retire, and also a team that's got some high end tight ends as well is the Cleveland Browns.
Well, they're not losing Hooper.
Whether Njoku at the start of the season said he's one out, and then he bought back in. So
I think Njoku's up, I believe. But there's no way you waste all that money on Hooper. And you'd have to cut him. So that's That buy is, I still can't work out what that is, what that buy was. What a waste.
It's such a waste. Towards the end of the season, you know, we sort of said it a couple of weeks ago, towards the end of the season and in the playoffs, Austin Hooper started to get a little bit more action. But, yeah, throughout the season, that would have been super frustrating for him to come across from Atlanta, where he's the number one guy, you know, at tight end and is getting a lot of catches, or at least a lot of targets. So he's got the opportunity. And then this year he goes to Cleveland and is essentially getting, you know, 3 and 4 targets a game. Like, that's not what he's got. That's not what he's come in for.
Njoku is up for a contract this year, so that's not a bad one either. That's been pretty good. He's only 26 too. Wow.
This will be his first contract. Well, this will be his second contract.
Have you got, before we move on to some, like, really, I guess, big sort of news, like, news sort of everywhere, the NFL at the moment? You would think we'd want to talk about the Super Bowl, but do you have any studs and duds from these two games?
Stud is just, you know, can we make it any more difficult? Like, the start of the week, Travis Kelce, like, good grief.
I couldn't separate him and Tariq Hill. I just think, like, it's the tandem. It's just absolutely ridiculous what they both do. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, Travis Kelce getting 2 touchdowns and not, we dropped down and dropped the ball twice, but Tariq Hill.
One of those touchdowns on, like, a scoop pass from Patrick Mahomes. Like,
yeah, it was like a little basically
just like a little one arm shovel pass.
Yeah, it almost looked like just like a little, when you go for a layup, like a little finger roll. It was awesome. Tariq Hill, you know, he did get that one long 71, but you minus that out, he still have over 100 yards. I could have break them, so
it was everywhere. Like I said, you know, he had 10 catches like 4 minutes into the third quarter. Yeah. Travis Kelce, it's unbelievable what they do with him. Like, it was just crazy. How they use him, you know, how good his hands are. And, you know, it also helps that you've got a cheater in Tyreek Hill. I don't mean as in a cheater as in a bad thing. I mean a cheater as in a fast runner.
As a guy that no one can keep up with.
He's just unbelievable. That 71-70 yard run that he had, like, just zigzagging across the field, just ridiculous. Just burns people.
That first step turn and speed is phenomenal. Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's really good.
Remember out there, kids, speed kills.
Speed kills, yeah, and size matters. So there's size matters. I mean, for me, I don't know if your dub of the week was it was really Matt LaFleur's, you know, yeah, just a couple of questionable decisions. I mean, obviously the obvious, you know, the field goal sort of won right at the end there, but like you sort of said, even that 2-point conversion, you know, it's possibly questionable. You still could probably get 1 point out of that, but still.
I understand the 2-point conversion, you know, at the end of the third quarter to bring it to to get it back to a 3-point game. But it just to trust analytics and to not trust Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't make any sense to me. And that is just the wrong call. I understand why he took the 3. It's to get it away from, you know, that having to score a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, you know, being down 8 as opposed to being down 5. I just thought he'd sort of backed his defense a little bit too much, where he should have been backing his offense a lot more.
Yep. And I think he'll still be there next year. I don't think that.
He's not going anywhere.
And LaFleur, I don't think LaFleur is going anywhere either, to be honest.
Two years being there, back to back AFC NFC championship games. It's just one of those things where they, you know, both years they've sort of run into the hot team. You know, last year the hot team was the San Francisco 49ers. They got rumbled. This year they've just run into a red hot Tampa Bay team.
Yeah,
it's just the way it goes.
Yeah. It does. So that'll set the Super Bowl up at Raymond James Stadium, which happens to be Tampa Bay Stadium, against the Chiefs. I they will have a distinct advantage in terms of not so much the crowd, but at least that they'll be home, so they don't have to do so much protocol. You know, I think the Chiefs can't fly until Friday, at Friday US sort of time, which is interesting. So 2 days before the actual Super Bowl.
Well, that's
so,
it. They'll be at home. They won't really have to stay in a hotel all week.
That's right.
Yeah, it'll be just like preparing for a home game. I think that's the only sort, I guess, advantage there a little bit. But I don't think that's going to phase the Chiefs too much.
No. They're one of the few that's done the back to back. I can a little bit see them lose, but I just can't. They just do everything right. If they're down, they get the points. I can't see any possible way that Tampa can win that game. I think it's going to be close. That's one thing. I do think it's going to be close. And it could be high scoring.
It's going to be close.
Could be real high scoring.
Kansas City are like a 3-point favorite. So.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's. They're -3. So. And that's. Yeah. You know, a field goal either way. That's probably.
Yeah.
I think there has been a little bit of money sort of thrown on that as well. So that's sort of shortened up that price as well. I think Kansas City, last time I had a look, were paying like $1.80, I think, at -3. So people have seen the -3 and are taking it, thinking that, yes, that they'll win by more than 3 points. So, I think it'll still be close in that regard, you know, maybe 3 to 6 points. It's going to be that, yeah, it'll be the recipe for success that Tampa has come into it with, a super disruptive defense. If they can come out and disrupt Patrick Mahomes, you know, get a body on Travis Kelce. They're obviously not going to have really a whole lot of answer for Tyreek Hill, but if they can just come out there and just get a little bit of pressure on, then it's game on. It's game on. And, you know, if Kansas City, if they can get past Tampa, you know, they throw two tight end sets out there. So basically, you know, either Cameron Brate or Rob Gronkowski is an extra blocker. So it makes it really hard for the defense to actually get through and actually get pressure on Brady. But when it happens, we've seen it at the start of the year. You know, Brady looks pretty ordinary when he's under pressure, like most quarterbacks.
Gronk is a phenomenal blocker.
He's unbelievable.
That's why he's one of the best tight ends ever, for that reason. Not so much, obviously, what he can do with the ball in offense, but he's a very, very good blocker.
But he's got great hands as well. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's got great hands.
Yeah. He is a phenomenal blocker. It's for a tight end, you know, you just don't practice in that position. Not as much, I would. You'd have to.
Not as much. But that's like you said. You know, if they run a lot of two tight end sets, then that gives Tom Brady unbelievable protection.
Yeah, for sure.
For him to be able to stand in the pocket.
We'll move on to some news. I mean, there's a few things really. I mean, there's a couple of big notable ones. The first one, I guess, for us that really stood out was the Detroit Lions and Matthew Stafford have, I guess, mutually decided to look for trade options for Matthew Stafford to go somewhere else.
And, you know, and I guess they're moving in a different direction now that they've got Dan Campbell there as the coach for Detroit. So they're obviously looking at going in a different direction. I have no idea in what direction, whether they're going to look at a rookie quarterback, you know, pick up in this year's draft, maybe try and find a bit of a gem in the later rounds, or in these Matthew Stafford deals with whoever they're going to deal with, try and get a semi-competent quarterback in return.
I could only suspect, to be completely honest, I don't know if it's a direction thing. I could only suspect, or my gut tells me that Matthew Stafford's wanted this, and they've accepted it on the fact of what he's done for them in his career.
Oh, absolutely.
He's done more for them than where they should be. I mean, they haven't had the greatest few seasons.
That organization has totally failed Matthew Stafford.
Yes, they have. So. It's funny you call – I mean, there's no way you're going to get him in terms of the Saints, but it's funny you called this probably like 3 or 4 weeks ago that, you know, Stafford's someone that needs – that someone could pick up, and now that ends up being sort of true. So I think they wanted – the thing is
– it may have been on the cards for a couple of years, I think. Possible. I think there's a lot of – you know, NFL analysts out there that they just know that he's such a waste of talent there in Detroit if they're not going to help him out. If they're not going to bolster their offensive line to keep him clean, if they're not going to give him any type of you know, number one receiver to throw to. Like, they've just failed him so much. Like, they haven't had a decent receiver, you know, number one receiver there since Calvin Johnson.
The thing where, and this will move quickly because I looked into it has to move at least by no later than the 21st of March. So, because if he's on the books on the 21st of March, Lions have to give him a $10 million roster bonus.
Their phone to be ringing off the hook.
Yeah, 100%. It's not going to, what I'm getting at, it's not going to delay. That's really what I'm getting at.
They can't muck around.
There's no, you know, you're essentially wasting $10 million for a person that you've mutually agreed with. I don't know which way they're going either. I don't know. Like, where does he go? I mean, there's, like, well, you said, we've said this about a couple of quarterbacks, but a lot of teams will be going after this quarterback.
That's right. The thing is, though, like, he's probably going to be the second prize in this sort of quarterback carousel that's happening at the moment, and we'll talk about Deshaun Watson shortly. But Matthew Stafford is a pretty good second prize in this quarterback carousel that's going to be happening. Which,
oh my God,
the way that it's going, there's going to be a few on the move. You know, it's retirement or whether it's just a bit of a changing of the guard. There's going to be a lot of chopping and changing around at the moment. The latest story that's doing the runarounds is the LA Rams.
Yeah.
In the Matthew Stafford sweepstakes. And I think they're going to have to give up too much, especially if they're going to give up Jared Goff. And who the hell wants Jared Goff?
I think, you know, just getting back to the carousel thing you said, I can't remember out of any year, and this is throwing Deshaun Watson in the mix, and we'll talk about that in a second. But there's a lot. This carousel is going to be. There's probably like 10 quarterbacks that could chop and change.
Possibility.
I've never seen it like this at this time. You know, you've got to throw in Dak Prescott in there. You know.
No, that's right. That's right. He could well and truly be on the move.
Jacoby Brissett, like, you know, well, Cam Newton, just to throw another name out there, you know, who the hell did New England go after? Jacoby Brissett, because he's up for contract. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I had all these names down. I don't think he's going anywhere. Cam Newton.
I wouldn't think so. And I wouldn't think Jacoby Brissett would be going too many places either, I think.
Whoa. I don't know.
They
either trust him, or I kind of think he goes back to the Pats, personally. I think Belichick will like someone like him.
Well, that's the other thing. Jimmy G, there's tons of rumors around that Jimmy G's on the move.
Everything, yeah. Trubisky. Trubisky's on the move because they didn't take up his fifth-year option.
No, that's right. Jameis Winston could be on the move. You know,
yeah, Drew that's
Brees,
what I mean.
Who knows when Drew Brees is going to announce that he's going to retire. So Jameis Winston could be up for grabs. He could be the starter for the Saints next year. But, who knows? Yeah, about him. There's things being chucked around about the Jets going all in for Deshaun Watson. You know, and that means Sam Darnold will be on the move.
It's going to be wild. I've never seen.
It's going to be It's going to be a crazy, crazy offseason because of the fact that it's quarterback moves. So it's a quarterback driven league. They're the superstars. They're the ones that get their faces out there everywhere. So. It's going to be, you know, once, and it's only going to take one trade for the rest of the dominoes to start falling.
And then if we talk about Deshaun Watson now, who's officially has come out and declared that he wants to be traded.
Even though he requested that 3 weeks ago at the organization.
That's the domino that's going to fall. Once that is worked out, if it's worked out, I don't know when, if that's is worked out, that's where everything falls.
Well, they're going to have to do it soon. He's got Houston by the balls because he's got the no trade clause. So
yeah, that's right. So they don't have to trade him.
Just say, look, I only want to go to three or four teams, and then let those three or four teams fight out whatever the best deal. He could cripple that franchise.
But they could also be steadfast and sit on their hands and say, okay, no, we don't want to. We don't have to.
No, that's right. They don't have to. And they can start fining him. You know, they could start hitting him in the pocket when he starts not showing up for minicamp and things like that. Yeah. If he's that disgruntled, then.
Oh, God.
That could be a possibility as well. So, like, well, we've paid you all this money. We can start, you know, we'll start taking some more of it off you. Like, yeah, that's a possibility as well.
No, I thought you were saying hit in the pocket is him getting hit in the pocket of when he's playing, because they do that already anyway. He's the dominant that falls. Out of all the dominoes, that one needs to fall, because that'll then start. God, I hope it happens before the draft.
That'll start the ball rolling then. One of them, if Stafford or Deshaun Watson goes soon, say in the next week or, you know, or before the Super Bowl, then. Yeah, like you said, the dominoes start to fall and the deals just start rolling in thick and fast then, because teams that would have been in the Matt Stafford or Deshaun Watson sweepstakes will go, right, we don't have those options now. We need to go somewhere else.
I mean, the Jays could do something stupid. They could just say, no, we don't. You know, they might want the number one pick for Deshaun Watson, or the other way around, I should say. Who knows?
There's still rumors floating around that the Miami Dolphins could be sending out a trade package, you know, with Tua and the third pick. I think it's the 18th pick. Like, you love the speculation around it. It's crazy.
It's going to be fun. It's too hard to decide where it goes. I just know he wants, well, he says that he wants New York.
Why? Both of those franchises are dumpster fires.
Well, not Miami. I think Miami is a bit more.
Why would he want to go to New York?
New York, I don't know. Oh, sorry, the other New York team. Yeah, I don't know. Why would he want to go to any of them?
If the Giants trade for him, like Daniel Jones is gone then. if there's a package that includes, if they lose Saquon Barkley, why the hell would you want to go to the Giants then?
Of everything I've looked at, it's because he loves that coach. He loves the minority coach or the head coach. He actively wants.
Oh, what for the Jets? For Robert Jets. Saleh.
Yeah, one. I mean, that's a big, you know. But they're going to have to, obviously, they'll have to give up clearly the second pick. I would suspect.
Well, the second,
and probably
it'll be the
Darnold.
Second pick. It'll be Sam Darnold, and they might probably have two, to give up. They'll have to give up futures as well.
They'll have to give up probably another two first rounders.
Possibly, yeah.
I can't see any other way of doing it.
The problem is, then what happens? He's still got bums to throw to.
He's just
come off a team where he's throwing to bums. Now he's going to the Jets.
He might chew a bit of this, but I don't know how much, but they have about a $63, $65 million cap to use next year.
Yeah, but you've still got to go out there and get them. That's the thing. You've got to hope that Deshaun Watson comes there, and then the free agents start to look at that and go, hey, I want to go there too.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it. You have to go all in and get him. Then you've got him. Then you say, well, look, we've got Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that's right. Then the receivers start knocking, because right now, I guarantee you, there's not one decent receiver that will be actively seeking going to the New York Jets.
Just imagine just seeing – I say they get – this is the hypothetically they get Deshaun Watson and then a couple of decent wide receivers and a running back, because there'll be a few of them around as well. Just seeing that ugly green, like, potentially being in playoffs is just phenomenal.
That division is not so much wide open. Like, you think the Bills all sort of run roughshod over that division for a little while, but – you know, to have the other three teams in that division there as well, sort of fighting it out.
Just
to make it a bit more competitive, because, you know, when Brady and the Pats were winning, what did they win? Like 11 straight or 12 straight division titles. Like, it's just, what are you meant to do with those other three teams?
Ironically, the last sort of news we wanted to talk about was, I guess, the two head coaching positions that were left. I mean, the first one was the Houston Texans. Well, no, that wasn't the first one, but it's a pretty one, a pretty big one to talk about. They agreed terms with David Culley on a 5-year deal. Did David Culley, I mean, go into this? You had to have signed that contract knowing something about Deshaun Watson, whatever bad or good. Had to have.
Well, the story that I was reading today about this is that he's taken the Houston Texans job knowing that Deshaun Watson is going to be the quarterback. Like, did the Texans management just straight up lie to him?
Well, or they just sit on their hands. And then he is going to be their quarterback. That's the, I mean, that could throw everything as well. I don't know if, you know, do you do that to a quarterback that could, you know, it's, I don't know. Apparently
Is he going to be professional off and say, yes, I'll turn up for OTAs and minicamp? Or is that's, I mean, out. it becomes a game of chicken.
He'll hold out. Of course he'll hold out. He'll do exactly what's happened with a lot of them. You know, your boy Kamara, not as much, but who was the other running back that held out and then got their deal? I can't remember.
Thomas held out for a little bit as well, but still got his deal.
Yeah, Kamara, he held out, but he didn't really hold
Kamara,
out.
Like, he held out for like a week.
Yeah, but he was still there. He was around. That's not a holdout. He's still there. That doesn't count. Apparently, he's a pretty offensive-minded coach, Cully, because he was the assistant head coach for the Baltimore Ravens. So,
yeah, he was the... Yeah, if you read into it, he was the wide receivers / passing game assistant coach there at Baltimore. So, but he's been around the traps a fair bit. I think he's 65. He's been around the traps in the NFL for a long time. So, and this is the first head coaching job that he's got. So,
it's a third head coach that's ever that's black too. So, which. I thought that was a whole Deshaun Watson thing by getting him. I mean, that was a very smart move by Houston to get a black head coach. Which,
well, yeah, I think there was. I mean, that whether or not they wanted to sit on their hands a little bit more and wait for Eric Bieniemy from the Chiefs, or they just like, look, we have to move forward and we have to get ourselves a coach right now. So, you know, whether or not it was a smart enough move, whether or not that's enough to sort of appease Deshaun Watson, which, you know, all signs are pointing to no, that's not enough to appease Deshaun Watson into, you know, into sort of making him stay at the franchise, whether or not he sort of, you know, sits back and cools down and simmers a little bit throughout this offseason. And if he's going to be a professional and just come back to, you know, for OTAs and mini camps. And just say, right, you know, this is where I am for the moment. But I would still think that his manager would be out there very much actively seeking, trade partners. And the phone will be same thing for Matthew Stafford. The phone will be ringing off the hook.
This Sully's first press conference is going to be just amazing, just to see what he's actually going to say, because it's the inevitable, obviously, question. Well, he has to say something. You can't say nothing, because it's going to be all that people want to know is, what, you know, did you take this job?
He's not going to have the answer. His opening press conference, his first press conference, he's not going to know any of those answers. And people are going to bomb him for it, but he's simply not going to know those answers. Like, he'll just give the same.
It's going to be how he's going to react to it is what I'm sort of getting at. That's, you know, how he's going to react to all those questions, what he's going to say. You know, is he going to come out and advocate Deshaun Watson, which would be obviously the smartest idea, because, you want to keep a franchise quarterback.
He'll come out and say the things like, yes, Deshaun Watson is the quarterback at this franchise right this very minute.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's just generic things like that. Like, they're just a given. So, that's just... It is what it is
crazy
now. You know, all of those positions, all the coaching positions now are filled.
Crazy
so,
times for Houston sports, isn't it?
my God. The Astros in their cheating scandal, the Houston Rockets just being a dumpster fire. I still think I like what the Rockets can put out there as a product.
But now
this with the Texans, like, man. Trying to be a Houston sports fan.
The other coaching position that was filled was the Colts, former Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni, became the Philadelphia Eagles head coach. I mean, he's going to be the same sort of press conference is going to be just centered around the quarterbacks.
Oh, that's right. The very first thing that they'll be asking is Carson Wentz going to start for you next year? Or what are you doing with Jalen Hurts?
Yeah. Oh, it's God, I love looking at press conferences their first time just to see what. I mean, they have to be diplomatic. I mean, that's pretty much, except for the, I still can't work out what the hell Detroit's head coach, what he was thinking in that press conference.
Oh,
he
Dan, the man Campbell, like he is just, holy moly, I listened to some of that press conference, holy hell.
I still
like,
think he's playing.
What a dude. That's just a man's man. Like you're gonna hit us once, and then on the way up we're gonna bite your kneecap.
Bite your kneecap.
And then you're gonna hit us twice, God. And then on the other way we're gonna bite your other kneecap. It's like, good grief. What kind of analogies are those?
I don't know what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Surely the Detroit owners are just sitting back, all the general managers going, what the hell did I just sign?
What did we just sign for 6 years? What the hell is that?
The one good thing about that, as comical and as animated as it was, it can fire up a community and a team.
That's one thing that they'd said, that he's a bit of a rah rah sort of, yeah, rally the troops type coach. And yeah. that just could be what they need there in Detroit, but they also need, you know, semi competent players as well. Like
they've got a great defense. Okuda, Aquara, you know, he's a restricted free. Their defense is great, really, really good. It's their offense. Well, it wasn't there. It's their offense. Then we have to work out a quarterback. They have to rebuild. That's all. DeAndre Swift, so they've got the talent there. They have to rebuild. Or like you just said, go after where are they, fourth, fifth, I think, of the draft? They have to go after a franchise quarterback now. I guess that makes sense. I mean, that has to now. If Stafford sorted that out, I think they have to go after quarterback, don't they? I have to.
Well, that's the very first thing that they're going to have to go after, and then
it should be
like
good
I said, yeah, exactly. Who?
I mean, we can rule out the obvious.
There's many, many options out there.
There's many options. I don't know. Apparently, this. I don't think they go after Justin Fields, personally. Apparently, this everything that this name came out of nowhere. I didn't know much about it, and now he's sort of popped up everywhere. It's Trey Lance from Dakota State. He's a really good quarterback. I didn't know much about him, but everything I keep reading is that he's shooting up above Zach Wilson, shooting up against Mac Jones as well. So.
They might be able to score somebody, you know, later on in the draft, like Matt Jones.
I don't think that'd
be a bad thing at all.
They got the third, so I don't know what else they got, but they who knows? They might even trade down and then. Oh, actually, that's not a bad one. What about if they trade down and use Matt Stafford in a trade? With that pick for, say, I don't know, like Jimmy G or something like that.
Possibly.
I don't know. Like, that's not a bad one. Use Matt Stafford in a trade scenarios
up the wazoo at the moment. We could sit around for 2 hours and do possible trade scenarios.
Oh, I could do it for half a day and just write it down. Nothing's going to come through. It's like the NBA when you put in that ESPN
in the trade machine.
Yeah, of course they add just because the figures add up doesn't mean it's gonna happen.
then you get couch GMs out there going, oh, this would be a really good trade. And it's just like, yeah, good trade for your team. But you know, there is another team in this trade that actually has to like that deal. So you start getting couch GMs out there as well that are only got one eye for, you know, that it's only going to be a win for their team. Do you know what I mean? Like they're not willing to give up, you know, a whole lot to get something really good in return. It's really bizarre.
As fun as the quarterback carousel is going to be, just to finish for me, the draft after number one is going to be just as exciting. I mean, the number one's pretty stock standard that you can lock that up, but that number two onwards could go anywhere. It doesn't
depends on who is going to be the number two pick. Like if the Jets trust Sam Darnold, then they absolutely have to take Devontae Smith.
Yeah. Or they go after an offensive line and give him protection, that Penei Sewell. Or they trade. I mean, I think there could be three or four trades in the top 10. Who knows?
There's multiple scenarios out there.
The only thing that I know is
for the New York Jets.
Yeah. Same as Miami Dolphins. I know is Trevor Lawrence is going to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Trevor Lawrence will be starting in Jacksonville.
That's the only thing I know that's happening in a draft.
That's the thing. That means then what happens? Who's going to be the backup there? You know, is it going to be Minshew? Is it going to be Mike Glennon? Is it going to be that Luton guy? There's going to be a lot of jobs up for grabs.
Jags could be fun. They've got $70 million in cap too. They're going to be fun.
But they have to wait then until they get Trevor Lawrence, and then the same sort of thing. Then they're going to have to say, right, who are the wide receivers that we can target out there that we can get to come in, because they need help in all facets of offense.
Yeah, they're going to need an offensive I mean, there's a lot of good, you know, just as much as a lot of good wide receivers in the draft, there's a lot of good wide receivers on that free agency wire. You know, Allen Robinson's the one that pops out of my head just because of what he could do if he has a good quarterback. But
that's right. Yeah, if he's got a good quarterback.
Super Bowl prediction. Who you got? Taking money out of the equation. Take money and lines out of the equation.
Yeah, no lines, no money, no under and overs. I just don't think you can go past the Chiefs. Like I just don't like that. Yeah. You shouldn't be betting against Tom Brady, but
not at a home game.
That's what I mean. It's a home game. I think they said there's going to be about 25,000 people there, so it's about a third or so capacity. So. You know, tickets are like $5,500 a pop. So, you know, get on those if you can. But I just don't think that Tampa's defense are going to be able to disrupt Kansas City enough.
All the talk was really about, obviously Tom Brady, but how good their offense was this year, because it was good, because he had made a click, and Bruce Arians, by the sounds of it, let Tom Brady be the coach so to speak of the offensive line. Let him do his thing. I've been more impressed with their defense. Hugely, because it's been underrated, because no one's been talking about it. But exactly what you said, I fail to see how they might be able to get to Patrick in the pocket, possibly. I just fail how they stop Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. I can't work it out. No. I just don't.
And that's what they'll be trying to work out for the next week and a bit, to try and work out how they are going to stop them.
I don't.
Not so much stop them, but it's limiting them. You're never going to stop them. You're never going to stop Patrick Mahomes. It's about limiting them. It's about making them look ordinary, not making them look bad. It's just they've got to make them look, you know, on par with them, and then they've got to trust in Tom Brady and what he's got to throw to. So I think sort of getting Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones involved early to try and establish the run game, I think, is the way to go. And if Kansas City can't stop the run, then you just keep going to the run game. You know, you've got one of the best power runners in Leonard Fournette there. You just keep going to that run game, and then you don't have to have Tom Brady do a whole lot. And then once things start to open up a bit, then Tom Brady can go to work. Same sort of thing with Kansas City. Please, Kansas City, use Le'Veon Bell, for God's sakes. Use him.
They might have to if Mahomes doesn't get enough protection and throw the ball. It's possible they'll have to. They've got a plethora of running backs. Edwards-Helaire. I know.
If he's the Jets and getting used this much, he would be losing his mind. But it's okay. I'm on the Kansas City Chiefs and I'm about to win a Super Bowl. It's all right. Like, it's ridiculous. That's got to be eating him inside, right? Like, okay, he's on a successful team, but he's not doing anything. He's not contributing to this team like I think he wants to.
I agree, but I mean, I suppose if he gets his Super Bowl ring and then then the free agency opens up, he'll probably be happy with that.
He's wasting his career. Like, well, that's right. Running backs don't live forever.
No, they definitely don't. Chiefs a win. I can't work out by how much, but I don't see, Mahomes is going to be, if he wins, he's going to be on go pace really quick. And I'm, two Super Bowls in a row.
Back to back. It'll be the first time since Brady did it. 304.
That's what I mean. He's on that Tom Brady Gotesque pace already. So
yeah, no, he's on a scary trajectory, into the atmosphere. Well, they just could overshoot, the quarterback position into the next galaxy. Like, it's unbelievable the things that he is doing and making it look so easy.
His contract after 10 years, he'll still be 35. He's still got a 3-4, like, he could do a Brady and have another 8 years on top of that. So,
Keep him protected. Keep him away from the hits.
Yeah.
And he'll have a nice, long, happy career.
The one good thing is, like, if your team's going good, this is why I could never work out for the Pats. When your team's going good, everybody wants to go there if the money's good. Regardless of the money. Sorry. But that's for some reason that didn't work always for the Pats.
Yeah, that's right. And they just chew you up and spit you out, once they're done with you. It's the old Bill Belichick saying is that, he's rather get rid of you a year too early than a year too late.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's the that's the philosophy there.
True. Yeah, well, it is true. That's a Belichick thing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Well, look at how well his team did this year.
Well, that'll do it for this week. So, well, I guess the second last, so to speak, of the at least the NFL podcast. Don't forget to follow us on our socials. Well, I'm sure we've got for this season, and we're going to be having so much more to talk about, clearly. Don't forget to follow us on our socials, which is Facebook. You'll find it Final Play Podcast. Twitter is at Final Play Pod. You'll find our podcasts everywhere. And shout out, as always, to Gimco. I started listening. The reason I wanted to bring Gimco up, I started listening to I listen to Bill Simmons' podcast a lot, well, a few of theirs, but his mainly. They've just introduced a trading cards podcast because he's been. He's been into trading cards. He's like on boards and everything since he was 20, basically. So he wanted to bring a podcast out because of just the unbelievable third, he was going through the whole sort of, the burst, so to speak. And he said this third burst or third boom is just phenomenal.
It's ridiculous.
The things that do, and you'd know all this already, but just how it blows me away.
It's almost becoming a rich man's hobby. Like priced out of it.
That's exactly what he said. It's becoming... it's becoming a rich man, where it used to be just a collector's hobby. It's a rich man's hobby where they don't care. They all watch The Last Dance with Michael Jordan. Want to pay $20,000 for one Michael Jordan card? Sure, I'll do that.
It's insane.
That's what I mean. It's how it's boomed, how people, and you already know this anyway, I believe, but will just buy these boxes and just sit on them for ages because it's worse opening them.
Why the hell would you want to do that?
I know, but that's where he can't work it out. He just said, and it's the podcast. I haven't listened to the podcast yet, but he just wants to break down, which ones possibly, don't to buy into, how people brought $200 Taylor Horton Tucker cards as an example.
For God's sake!
But that's
fools that are out there that are doing that. There was a bowl surge for a little while there, and there was idiots out there playing $100, $150, $200 of bowl cards, and he's just going to sit there on the bench and play 1.5 minutes per game. Like, give me a break.
That's what's happening. That's what he said. It's phenomenal, this third boom that's happening, and how it's a rich man trading game
out there. That's all.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone could pay for it now. It just seems like everybody's getting priced out of it, so to speak.
But that's part of the problem. We sort of ramble on a little bit here at the end here, but That's the problem with that's the problem with Panini having the overwhelming majority of the market, you know, especially when it comes to the NBA, the NFL. They've got the market cornered.
Yeah.
So that means they can just bring out, you know, all these ridiculously different products and everything, and people go stupid for them. Like, you just have, you know, you a couple of low, a couple of mid-end, and a couple of high-end products, and that's all you need. You don't need all this garbage in the middle.
Panini. What's Panini Prism? What's that?
Well, usually Prism is one of the first ones that come out.
Yeah.
So they're sought after because they're always the first rookies that are in, their professional uniforms, like in you know, whether it's the NBA or the NFL. So that's usually the fascination with them. But then they bring in all the other garbage as well, and you know, you have some nice, you know, mid end sort of stuff, and then you get into your high end stuff like Immaculate, Flawless, National Treasures, things like that. You know, they're all your super high end stuff.
Yeah.
And Panini brought out a one there a few years ago. It might have been 4 or 5 years ago, called Eminence, and it was like $25,000 a box or something. Like, it was ridiculous. But they were all like silver, gold, platinum cards.
Well, you said that's the other thing.
Just uber high end, crazy stuff.
At least it's a bit more regulated now in terms of, you know, like there's certain, I guess, we're rambling on here, but just the whole. You send it away to somewhere to get it. This is probably in the States more, but you send it away to get it assessed if it's, you know,
grading. Let me tell you this right now. Getting a card graded is the biggest scam that's going around.
I could see that big time. Just to see if it's got a slight little bend in it. But you got to send it away. There could get a possible bend in it.
Centering or the surface. Oh, give me a break. Like, it's such a scam because people get it graded and the grading only costs. Even if the grading costs, you know, $30 or $40 or $50, and then they'll just instantly quadruple the price of the card. Just give me a break.
I see it as if you wanted to get into the stock market, probably get into something like this, because at least it's something you can hold and just go, okay, yes, I have that, and then I could start selling it.
This is the stock market. But it all depends on usually it's dependent on the rookie classes as well. That's where they get their, you know, crazy prices from as well. Like, if there's a super hyped up rookie coming in like Zion, so that, you know, last year's products that were, you know, that were coming out by Panini were just out of control price wise just ridiculous, and people that have held on to them have quadrupled their money, quadrupled their money, because people are after them this year. The NFL product will be grossly inflated because of Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah,
that's all it takes.
That's what they said. Yeah, it said it's going to be where it used to be just baseball. NBA is definitely the number one, and then now NFL starting to get into there because of people like your Trevor Lawrence and everybody like that. Your Joe Burrow. Apparently Joe Burrow cards are going for like $2,800. Really, really. I don't know that. But high, like, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh, it depends on what it is. This year will be Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert cards will be going for the most.
And then Tua. You know, I've got a couple of Jalen Hurts cards which I wouldn't mind sitting on for a little bit just to see what he becomes. So, but that's the thing. If you can hang on to them. And their star ascends into superstardom, then, you know, those cards, they're worth a little bit more. So it just, it's just the way that some of the things happens with cards, like silver prisms are worth more than some numbered cards. So they could just produce as many of these silver prisms as they want because they're unnumbered. But they're worth more than what, say, you know, a green number to 99 prism is. That to me does not make any sense.
And this is why you said Panini can do what they want, because they've cornered that completely.
Upper Deck, please get back in the game.
When Tops were in the game too, weren't they?
Please get back in the Tops. Making a bit of a resurgence with the WWE.
I thought Panini had like a, you know, they have rights to the NBA or something along those lines.
But the funny thing is, you don't get with Panini, you don't get any LeBron James signatures because he signed exclusively with Upper Deck. Ben Simmons is another one. You don't get any Ben Simmons. You get Ben Simmons, you know, patch cards, bits and pieces of his jersey, but you don't get signatures because he signed exclusively with Upper Deck. So they're still around. So they've got to do something. They've got to try and wrestle a little bit of this market back away from Panini. That's, I mean, Topps is starting to make a bit of a comeback now with, you know, the WWE. They've got Undisputed. They've got Topps Chrome. They've got Topps Finest. So they're making a cup. Just please, any of them, Topps, Upper Deck, make a comeback, please.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. I just from that little 5 minutes or 10 minutes we just did, it's just how unbelievably crazy it's gone. Like, this, you know, this guy came from nothing. He's just, this is his full-time job. It's his full-time job, not the podcast, training cards, he said. It's his full-time job. And it's just come from nothing, and how it's just ballooned in the last three or four years. Because people are sitting at home, he reckons, and then, what are you doing with your money? Let's just do something that we can hold. So it's... Yeah. They think it's going to get absolutely just even worse, depending on who's coming out. Like you said, like the NFL next year, they reckon is just going to be phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal, because it could be 5-10 quarterbacks in the first round. So
yeah, exactly.
Well, have a good week, everyone, leading up to the Super Bowl. My name is Jason. I still don't understand trading cards, but I appreciate it. I just don't understand it fully, especially the value and all that. It's just throwing me for a little bit.
A card's value is only as much as what somebody is willing to pay for it.
That's actually a really good way of putting it. Yeah, good point.
See, and I'll sign off with Miles, I'm a philosopher, Plum.
I'm a philosopher. you're a philosopher of alcohol.
the card philosopher, not an alcohol philosopher.
Sorry, you're a card philosopher. Yeah, sure. You're a card/alcohol philosopher.
I have the day off for the Super Bowl too, so that's going to be super fun.
Hey, I'll make sure I watch it any which way possible.
I'll be watching that live.
Have a good week, everyone.
See ya. Kansas City by 6.
Ooh.